Hello and welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the knitting podcast that's mostly about the projects. This week, Pasadena pattern review, bauble fails, and some exciting, I hope, news about iTunes. Hello and welcome to episode 54. My name is Heather. You can find me on Instagram at The Ordinary Knitter, on Twitter as at The Ord Knitter, and on Ravelry at Ordinary Knitting. And I have a big announcement, which is that not without an awful lot of blood, sweat and tears, the podcast is now available via iTunes. This is a very recent development. I think Tuesday afternoon, it was submitted after a lot of help from my stepdaughter. I was in a loop, which I won't bore you with, but it was getting very, very frustrating. And it was at least the fourth or fifth time I had tried to sort it out. But with my stepdaughter's help, we've managed to get it submitted, and it's been accepted. I haven't gone and looked yet. I had a massive problem with logins. This is what it all came down to, and I'm sort of terrified to go into the account and start looking at it too closely in case I sort of log out and then I can never get back in. You know, I'm very confident with technology and I work with software and so on, but dealing with Apple and iTunes has just been an order of magnitude more complicated. But we're there now. So I will put the iTunes link on the sidebar on the front page. I was having an Instagram conversation the other day with Sarah Guthrie, who you may recall is the very skilled sewer, who had inspired me to start a bit of sewing in the summer. And she was saying that she couldn't find the podcast through her podcast app, and nobody would be able to because they normally interrogate iTunes, and if you're not there, you're not going to be found. So anyway, the ball is rolling. If you don't like iTunes, you can still subscribe by entering the feed address. And if you go to the website, you'll see on the right hand bar there is a standard web link, a www web link for the podcast feed, which you can manually enter into your podcast software, and that will subscribe you. But it's really nice to have that particular little bump in the road sorted out. It's only taken me 18 months. Let's start with the Pasadena pattern review. Pasadena is a ladies' Aran weight cardigan. It describes itself as a fitted raglan jacket with figure-flattering full fashion details. I'll try saying that after a couple of drinks. It's pretty fair as far as the fit description goes, but it's not a true raglan because the arms and the yoke aren't all shaped together from the armpits up. You knit complete back and front right up to the shoulders, and then you seam in the sleeves. Now, I may be maligning Barocco, but in my opinion, that's not a true raglan. A true raglan is when you start from the armpits with everything threaded onto the same needle and you work all the shaping together from that point up. This is a free download from Barocco, available via Ravelry. The recommended yarn is Barocco Pure Merino. This is, of course, a pattern that's been designed to promote a particular yarn. I used yarn from Aldi because it was what I had. I have to say, I'm very glad I didn't go out and buy yarn specially for this. Although, I'll give you a slight spoiler now. The outcome is on the negative side, but I am a good 75% responsible for that. And on this occasion, I don't think using a different yarn made very much difference in the end to the finished article. I can see that on some it does, this time it didn't really. The pattern stipulates a skill level of experienced, which made me feel good for 3 seconds when I saw that, to consider myself an experienced knitter. I cast on with 5.5mm KnitPro Symphony needles, that's a US size 9, which I realised fairly early on gave me a slightly larger gauge, which I knew meant that the finished article would come out slightly larger, but because I felt that the fit was going to be fairly good in the first place. I didn't think that slightly larger would make a difference. Fair to say, I've learnt something this time. The pattern is written for sizes extra small to extra large, and I made it in a medium, which is designed for a 42-inch chest. I'm a 41-inch chest, so I thought that would work out about right, because I didn't want the cardigan to be screaming across the bust as I tried to do it up. The pattern was a little bit fussy from the outset, but I didn't mind that because it gave me variety. So, for example, the cast on for the back and front parts, you cast on from the waist upwards, and the cast on was partly in rib and partly in stocking stitch. So the finished item has a rib section which meets at each side seam. Which is fine, although really, now I see the finished article, I think I would have just preferred a traditional ribbed welt all the way round the bottom seam, the bottom edge. The back was pretty straightforward with standard shaping for the armholes with a seed stitch band around them. The front parts were knitted with this diagonally travelling seed stitch band. I've talked about this before as I've gone through making the cardigan over the last few weeks, and I have very mixed feelings about it. The cardigan also has vertical seed stitch bands, which I quite like, and I can see that if you've knitted the cardigan to the right gauge and to the right size, that they would add definition to the shape of the finished article. But the diagonal bands are just weird. They look much better on one side than the other, but overall, I mean, they add nothing structurally, and they can be a little bit confusing, a wee bit tricky, not to mention, as I've referred to before in previous episodes, that there's an error in the pattern to do with how many repeats of something that you do, and this means that the seed stitches don't end up quite where the pattern tells you they should. Now, ordinarily, I would assume that that was my error, but the Ravelry fora tell me that there are errors. Other people have spotted them, and that definitely chimes in with my experience. Plus, exactly the same thing happened on both sides. And if it was my error, I would assume it would happen on one side, maybe not at the other. So my concentration had wandered at the crucial moment, or I'd omitted to note that I'd done a particular repeat, and I'd done one extra or something like that. I probably won't make this again, but if I did, I would just leave out the diagonal bands altogether, and the cardigan would be none the worse for it. This is another pattern with the cheeky little reversal shaping. I'm pleased to report, actually, that went fine. And I was saying when I was reviewing March Basic, it described itself as, gosh, did it say a beginner? I think it said. And it also included reversal shaping. And in my opinion, reversal shaping, especially when you're talking about the left and right sides of a cardigan front, that's not a beginner level technique. That, you know, I think you need to have gone round the block a few times before you can go, oh, fair enough, I think I can work that out. I think you just need that little bit of experience, but like driving, you know, I can't tell you precisely what you need to do to be able to do that, but as you go through and you knit different types of items, different types of garments, and you understand about shaping because you followed patterns that have spelt out for you what the shaping should be on the mirror side, I think you've got to have done those sorts of things a few times before you can tackle reverse all shaping. I was also saying over the last few weeks that I was going to use the sleeves from March Basic in Pasadena because I really like the sleeves in March Basic. They're just the right fit, they're just the right length. However, on reflection, I decided I would use the sleeves in the Pasadena pattern because I realised that actually, when you take into account the slightly different stitch count and the slightly different needle size, they pretty much amounted to the same thing. So I stuck to the pattern. It tells you to knit a 6-inch cuff to allow for turning back, but I didn't want to turn it back. I want something that's going to keep me warm, but that's not going to swathe me like a horse blanket. So I don't want massive, chunky elements. But as it turns out, even using a 3-inch cuff, I still have to turn it back. So I'm really glad I made that decision, or I'd be turning them back to the elbow. The sleeves were extremely straightforward, very simple, and they include a seed stitch band around the top where they meet the front and back pieces, so you get that little decoration. Making up was quite involved. After attaching the sleeves to their edges, the side and sleeve seams are stitched, and then the great picking up exercise begins. One of the design elements that attracted me to Pasadena was the little stand-up collar, but I had to earn it. A bit like you have to earn your blackberry jam by getting scratched to ribbons picking blackberries, I had to earn my stand-up collar by picking up 84 stitches around the neck and knitting it vertically up from there. When I'd done that bit, I then had to pick up and knit 147 stitches down the front band on each side. I talked about that in detail in episode 53 last week, because pick up and knit is not something that warms the cockles of my heart, just because I feel I do it in a very scruffy manner. I also talked about the fact that I made several false starts, but in the course of doing that, my picking up technique really improved, and not only the actual technique improved, but my confidence with it has improved. So I feel, even though, you know, obviously when you're within sight of the finishing line, it's really frustrating to have to do hundreds, thousands of stitches again, but at the same time, I think I really benefited from it. So I actually finished Pasadena last week. I did mention that, but I didn't have any buttons and I just didn't get into town until yesterday. So today's Tuesday the 24th. I got into town yesterday, managed to buy buttons. I got some simple plain bluey purple ones from Stitches in Leinster. I went round the houses on what sort of buttons to get. I looked at novelty buttons. I looked at stylish buttons. I looked at radical colours that would, you know, clash in that okay way, because I know I'm sure some people love these and that's great and I'm not maligning them, but for me, I didn't want the sort of plasticky buttons I think of as classic children's school cardigan buttons, those kind of glassy plasticky slightly shot through, which would have been ideal in many ways. I just didn't want that. But despite what I said last week, I did try the cardigan on without the buttons. I'd said before I wasn't going to, because I wanted to be able to do it up and double check on the fit, really, to give myself my proper first impression. But in the end, I thought, well, I had to carry the cardigan with me so I could check whether the buttons were the right size. And I wanted to be sure it was worth spending the money on the buttons. And I kind of did. On balance, I thought, oh, well, I may as well finish what I've started. And the buttons were only cheap. They were only 30p each. I more or less came straight back home and sewed the buttons on. And the overall result is, I think, well, it can only be described as mixed. I tried very hard to position the buttons bang on, but something has happened with the top three. There's lots of wrinkly neckband going on. I think part of it is that the neckband is just too long. I mean, how can it be? Because I was picking up for it, but it just feels like I've got too many stitches. Feels like it's rippling because it's just a bit long. And when I actually did up all the buttons, it seemed a bit weird, that top bit. But then considering the buttons go right to the top of the stand-up neckband, I would very rarely actually do those ones up, to be honest. It would really have to be blowing a gale, in which case I am not going to be caring about a saggy neckband. But I was a bit frustrated with that because I really had tried hard. The final verdict on Pasadena is that I chose too big a size, which I then made in too big a gauge. So the end result is really quite big on me. The sleeves are too long, but I'd have liked the body a little longer. It doesn't much resemble the pattern photo, but it could have, I think, if I'd made different choices. I'm not very keen on the rolled stocking stitch edge at the front because it dangles down rather than sitting straight. And that could just be to do with the weight of the cardigan bearing down on it. I was never very keen on those cardigans that were all the rage a year or two ago, and they had lots of wafty folds at the front and they dangled down below the level of the rest of the cardigan. I think they might have been called waterfall cardigans, and again, no intention of being rude, they suit many people. I don't like them on me, and this reminds me a bit of that. I've also come to the conclusion, having done two Aran cardigans in a row now, that I'm not so keen on the really chunky knits on me. I knew that. Actually, I knew that before I started, but I thought, well, it might be all right. And, you know, I've got shed loads of Aran yarn and I really just needed to use it. I needed a purplish cardigan for the winter. I only had the Aran. I couldn't justify buying purple DK or anything else, so I just used it. I could have gone down a needle size. That's worth considering. And definitely, I mean, going down a needle size, half a millimetre, may have been enough to bring me within the gauge. But, you know, the chances of me knitting this cardigan again in a smaller needle and making the effort to get the gauge are highly unlikely. So I haven't done it justice, and I can't tell if I would recommend it because I haven't done it justice. I'm not describing a cardigan that's been knit absolutely bang on and that is absolutely perfect with my shape. It has occurred to me, as it did with March Basic, that I could mattress stitch a couple of rows each side of the side seam to reduce the width a bit, and the beauty of mattress stitch is that I could do that and just pull it out if I don't like it. But the thing is with that it won't reduce the size on the yoke. I can't do that on the sleeve, you know, the arms, where the arms are set in. I can't do that for a variety of reasons. There's the seed stitch band. I didn't use mattress... Did I use mattress stitch? Gosh, I'm having a mental blank. I suppose I probably did use mattress stitch there, actually. Oh, I suppose it's possible. I think it's highly unlikely. If I really liked it and one little thing like that was wrong, I might bother, but, you know, I'm not sure I do. However, I have blocked it. I didn't when I first tried it on, but then I thought, you know, it might just make that little bit of difference, because you're obviously pulling your knitting around when you're making up and so on. And once that's dried, I'll have a look at repositioning the buttons, because I've already moved a couple of them. As I was going along, I thought, oh no, that doesn't look quite right. So, this sounds like an aside, it is relevant. We're clearing out our garage at the moment, and in there somewhere, I know, are these foam interlocking mat pieces. You know, you often, if you've got young kids, you often have these. And when my son was very small, we lived somewhere that had no carpets. It had ceramic tiles all the way through the ground floor. And I lived in terror, you know, when he was about 5 or 6 months old, of him falling backwards and cracking his head on the ceramic tiles. So we bought some of these. I've heard since that they're nasty. They've got nasty plastics in them. But I mean, he was walking not too long later, so you know, my fears moved on to other things. But I think they'd be brilliant for blocking, and blocking quite big things. So I'm really looking forward to mining through the contents of the garage. We've got an upstairs in our garage as well, so you can just imagine the volume of stuff we've got in there, especially having two adult children who've left home as well, the stuff that has gone to die up there. So bit by bit, so I'll get there, and when I do, I will take great pleasure in using these jigsaw mat pieces for blocking. From this project, hot on the heels of March Basic, I have learnt once and for all how vital fit and gauge are. I've flown by the seat of my pants, I've taken chances, and quite honestly, I've had to face the consequences. Clearly, I view myself as bigger than I really am, or a different shape, and so I don't choose projects with negative ease. But I realise now that I would rather have a cardigan or a top a little snug rather than hanging in folds, though, you know, I'm sure there's a happy medium, and as I become more experienced, I hope I can find that happy medium. Gauge really does matter, and I'll be paying forensically close attention to both on my next garment project. I expect that to be a grey or a black DK cardigan, but as I have Christmas knitting to get on with just now, things could have changed. I might be deciding it's something else I need by the time I get round to making myself the next thing. I think it probably says undesirable things about how my mind works, that rather than just accepting from people with far more knowledge and experience from me that you do need to swatch and to check your gauge, and it does matter, I've had to knit two cardigans that are too big before I finally accept that, in the end, swatching matters. I'll let you into a secret, not really a secret, but I recorded this podcast earlier in the week and I had yet another technology fail. So for somebody who's pretty confident with computers, it hasn't been a good week, but something weird happened with Audacity and I lost part of the podcast. But something very weird happened when I tried to do duplicate stitch on the baubles. So I've just decided, when I recorded it the first time, I was about to do the duplicate stitch, and now I have tried and failed with the duplicate stitch, I thought I would just re-record this section. So my plan was, having originally intended, if you listened last week, I would have blithely said, I'm just going to chart out the decoration I want on the bauble and I'm going to work it in. I was going to say intarsia, but of course, technically it's not. When you're knitting in the round, you can't do intarsia because your yarn will be in the wrong place every time. When you knit back and forth, if you're knitting in the flat, you take your yarn back and forth with you. But when you knit in the round, your yarn is going only in one direction. So if you've knit, say, 8 stitches right to left as part of an intarsia design, and you then revert to your main background colour, and you go all the way around the back of the, for instance, in this case, bauble, and back to where you were, unless you have taken your intarsia colour yarn all the way around with you in a float, which then arguably it's not intarsia, your yarn is going to be at the wrong end of your bit of stitching. So I went round in circles. That was the plan. The plan was to just do a bit of fair isle, I suppose. Take my colours round with me, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's, cut a long story short, I've tried both working in, I suppose stranded colour work is the best term for it. I tried that on the yellow one. And then I tried duplicate stitch on the white background fox face one, and it's just so difficult to get it looking right. And I didn't want to send my husband off with something that looked pretty crappy and like I'd, you know, done it with one hand tied behind my back in a darkened room. The problem with the yellow one, which was to have a smiley face because my mother-in-law likes those, was I ended up getting really tangled up doing my original plan, which was to have a white background, the yellow disc for the face, and then black features, 2 eyes and a mouth. But creating the yellow disc became difficult with the increases that I had to do. Now, I've worked increases in colour work before, but there was something about this. Because I wasn't following a chart that someone else had put together, I had created my own chart, and that in itself had been more of an uphill struggle than I had anticipated or that I remembered it being. But as I've said before, I really struggle to visualise a flat design in 3D, and that came into play again. So I abandoned creating the yellow circle, and in the end I did the entire bauble in yellow, and the plan was then to do features in, well, originally in stranded colour work, but then that didn't work out how I wanted, because as I was taking floats round with me and I had a yellow bauble with black features everywhere, although I know how to anchor my floats so that they don't show through, strictly speaking, it's difficult to have black sandwiched between a white polystyrene ball and yellow yarn and not just show through as a 5 o'clock shadow. And I know my mother-in-law would have found a 5 o'clock shadow on her bauble quite funny, but it just, I know this is vanity on my part, but I can't help it. Nobody likes giving something that they know looks a bit naff. And I just didn't want to give something that someone might look at and think, oh, Heather obviously thinks she did a really good job there, because I didn't. And then it's rude to my mother-in-law, in my opinion, to give her something which is poorly done. You know, I mean, children give us half-baked stuff all the time and we gush and we say, oh, darling, it's wonderful and it's beautiful and it's marvellous and it's on the wall. But we know they've really tried their best and a lot of love went into it. But when you're 46, I just feel that that doesn't quite cut it. So then I thought, well, what I'll do then is I'll just abandon this. And I will knit a completely yellow bauble and I will put black features on in duplicate stitch. But I was kind of beginning to run out of time. So I thought, well, I've got it there as an emergency backstop if I really haven't got time to make anything else for her. I'd better make the other one just so that I've got the pair. So for that one, the problem I had, if you imagine a stylized image of a fox's face, it's quite pointy down towards the nose and chin. Not that foxes really have chins, but for these purposes. And the picture broadens up towards the ears. You know, if you imagine a standard mammal face, it's broader at the top than it is at the base. And trying to have something getting bigger in the area of the bauble where I'm decreasing for the shaping at the top was just more than my brain could cope with. Bearing in mind, I'm normally doing this in the evening at about 9 o'clock at night, by which time I'm not good for much. I'm sure it would be great if I could do it during the day, but it's been half term, so enough said. So I knit this white bauble. That didn't take very long. That was easy. And last night, which was my first opportunity, believe it or not, since Monday. It's just been the most insanely busy week. As well as it being half term, I've been out with one or two things, and we've had people staying as well. And the two things between them, I've just had virtually no time to knit. I was a little bit taken unawares this week, I knew I didn't have that much time, but the time that I had was then quite seriously truncated. So last night I started trying to do this duplicate stitch. I looked at a video from Stacey Perry, Very Pink. And just to remind myself of what I was doing, because I've never been entirely confident with duplicate stitch, but you know, it's okay, it's actually quite simple. And I started off doing it, but of course I'm looking at white stitches, very small white stitches. I used a 3.25mm needle. It's DK, but still, the stitches still come out pretty tiny. And of course, I'm on, at this point, starting at the base, I was in increase rounds as well. So the stitches aren't nice and neatly regular. You've got some curious things happening. But I managed to find, for the pointy bit at the base, I managed to find a flat bit where I didn't start off bumping into increase stitches. But still, it's so difficult to do duplicate stitch neatly on such tiny stitches, and when it matters, because you want it to be presenting nicely, and when you're quite new at it. I was going to say not very good. I know I'm always saying I'm not very good at this, but it's because I haven't done very much of it, so I'm inexperienced, perhaps that's better to say. And I realised, I was going a bit wrong at first, and I realised why that was. So I thought, oh, I'll just pull it out and start again. Ha ha. Because you are using a tapestry needle, it's almost impossible not to just catch slightly through the edges of these tiny stitches. And I say, because it's a white bauble underneath the white stitches, you don't have a brilliantly clear view of what you're doing. So trying to pull the yarn out became a nightmare, and I ended up sitting next to this little mound of tiny yarn snippets because I was having to cut it into so many tiny pieces. I was almost pulling out, cutting each stitch individually to pull it out. But it was okay, fair enough. So I had another go, and I could see again that I wasn't quite right. I was just missing, I was slightly miscounting the stitches because it was just so hard to see. Then I started again. Fortunately, I was only two stitches in before I realised I had the bauble upside down. Because it has a hanging loop, that does matter. So I started for the fourth time. I thought perhaps what was going wrong is that I was trying to do... My theory was, oh, I'll do all the brown first, and then I'll do the black. And the white just shows through, so you don't have to do anything of that. But I realised that wasn't helping because I thought I was leaving the right number of stitches and so on for the black, but actually I was confusing myself. So I thought, okay, that's fine, I'll do the first couple of rows of brown and then I'll fill in where the black goes, and that will help me keep myself orientated. But even doing that, I was skipping rows as I was putting my needle in for the beginning of the duplicate stitch. I wouldn't realize until I was a stitch or two up or to the side that I'd missed either a stitch to the side or up, and so I would have random white patches, and I was getting so fed up with it. So I said to my husband last night, once and for all, I said, I'm not sending you down with these. It's not to say that given a following wind, I can't make something decent in time to send down for Christmas, but I will do it during the day, and I'll do it in really good natural light, and, you know, just have a stab. I might also practice. I think if I swatch up, gosh, 2 weeks, no, not even 2 weeks running, that's twice in the same podcast I've used the word swatch, a reformed character. If I knit up a swatch and in a Aran, and, you know, size 5 millimeter needles, and do a bit of practice that way, and then come back to doing it on the bauble, and I hope that things will work more smoothly. But I was disappointed that I was so poor at it, because I really had thought, oh, this will be fine, this will work out, I can do this. And clearly I just need to practice. I've never been very good at practicing. I've always much preferred learning on the job, but in this particular circumstance, it's just not working out. So that was a bit disappointed, but at least I like a challenge. I like a knitting challenge, actually, and this gives me something to work on. It's just so difficult to pull out. I don't really want to have to keep restarting, because it gets messy and picky. But never mind. So I think I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know whether I might just put those on the back burner for a week and get on with something a bit more straightforward, like these hot water bottle covers or the flannels, actually. They're probably the thing to do. Knock out a couple of those, have that rinse that I was talking about before, and then come back to the duplicate stitch a little mentally refreshed and more up for the challenge. And of course, by that stage, I'll have forgotten everything that I learned last night. I'll be starting from scratch again. So thank you very much for joining me today. I hope that by tinkering about a little bit with this, following my technology fail, it hasn't come out disjointed. I do listen back to it before I publish, but of course I know what it's meant to sound like, so I maybe don't notice if there are hiccups. I would love to think that I'll be reaching a wider audience now that I'm on iTunes. I do get some feedback and I do keep an eye on my listener numbers, and I'm always pleasantly surprised. So for now, happy knitting, and I will speak to you soon. Bye.